When we think of the warning of God in His Word, and we think of sin and changing sin and redefining sin, how often in our own hearts we could be guilty of that. Redefining sin in our own minds to justify sin, to justify what we do. But yet we're to remind ourselves that God judges sin. And therefore we're not to live as if we are those in Genesis chapter 6. We're to live as the people of God. He was a righteous man. And that righteous man is to be a picture of us as we live righteously for Christ in a wicked and corrupt generation.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. And welcome to our program today. It's good to have you with us. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I am Andrew Fitton. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider a message taken from Genesis chapter 9, and the whole context of that passage being the great worldwide flood in Noah's day. A true account that is a picture of the judgment that is to come. We're going to consider the rainbow specifically, and the sermon is entitled When Rainbows Preach.
The rainbow preaches God's judgment on sin, but secondly, it preaches its message to all creation. It preaches its message to all creation. And notice what it said in verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. The rainbow is a universal sign. It was not just for Noah. It was not just for the Jews or the people of Israel. It was not just for the ancient peoples that arose after the flood, but rather it is a sign for all the earth. It is something that is universal. It is a message to the entire human race. And we are reminded of that because God is not a tribal God, we could say. Yes, He is the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, as we see in the Old Testament scriptures, but He is the God of all His creation. The Jew, the Gentile, all of His creation, and His dealings in blessings, His dealings in judgment are not limited to one specific group of people, but rather He is the God, the Creator, the Sustainer of the whole earth. He is the Judge of all the earth. It is a universal covenant sign. The rainbow sets forth then to this generation, as it did to Noah's generation, the very same warnings, the very same emphasis. It is for us to see, it is for us to understand. The rainbow is a call to focus upon the Creator, to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God to His Word. God's faithfulness is unchangeable. And He has promised that a flood will not destroy the earth again. The world forgets it. But yet God has promised it seasons. Life continues because God upholds these things by His power. Verse 22 of chapter 8, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The rainbow speaks of the restraining power of God, as in verse 15 of Genesis 9, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. The wrath of God is restrained. It does not mean God no longer judges, but there is a limit upon that, and it will come to pass at the end. And the rainbow reminds us then, it reminds all of creation, that God has restrained His wrath, and that judgment for sin upon all the earth will come at the very end of this world. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter reminds the church in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And these mockers came and said, where is Christ? He said He would come again. We don't see Him. We look in the clouds. There's no sign of the coming of Christ. This is a myth. This is a fraud. He's not coming again. And they used the evidence that the world continues as it had done since the beginning. And what does Peter say? Verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." The old world, the world that no one knew, perished. "But this world, the heavens and earth, which are now, are reserved unto fire," verse 7, "a coming judgment." Well, they were ignorant of what it meant regarding the judgment of the world in the day of Noah. It is something that applies to all of creation. And tonight, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, the rainbow is a reminder to you. It preaches the wrath of God. It preaches a warning to you. You may say, "I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in God." But still, there is a warning to all creation, because that includes you. And the rainbow sets forth the warning to all of us. When we see that rainbow in the sky, there is a reminder of what took place in the book of Genesis. There is a reminder of the wrath of God that will come upon the earth, that is pictured through that flood in Genesis. All creation was affected by the flood. The rainbow was said in the natural world. These are reasons why it applies to all creation. It reminds us of judgment. Judgment being upon all creation. And those who are unbelievers, those who know not the Savior, you live under that message. It may not be a daily message, but it's a common message. As you see the rainbow, God has restrained His wrath, but His wrath is coming. And it is coming upon the world. It is a warning. It is a warning not to trifle with sin. It is a warning not to redefine sin. It is a warning to honor God. It is a warning to obey God and to live according to His commandments. Dear believer, when we think of that, when we think of the warning of God in His Word, and we think of sin and changing sin and redefining sin, how often in our own hearts we could be guilty of that. Redefining sin in our own minds to justify sin, to justify what we do. But yet we're to remind ourselves that God judges sin. And therefore, we're not to live as if we are those in Genesis chapter 6. We're to live as the people of God. We're to remind ourselves that Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a righteous man. And that righteous man is to be a picture of us as we live righteously for Christ in a wicked and corrupt generation. But thirdly, I want you to see, and finally, we see that it preaches the covenantal mercies of God. It preaches the covenantal mercies of God. There was nothing within Noah that said that God should make a covenant with him. He was a righteous man, yes. He was a sinner. He was righteous because of God. He was righteous because of the grace that he found in the eyes of God. But we find in Genesis chapter 8, he made sacrifices. He offered burnt offerings. He was not a man who was perfect. We see at the end of Genesis chapter 9 that he became drunken and he sinned against God. But he was one who followed the Lord, and the Lord made that covenant with him. What is the covenant? What is the covenant spoken of here? We can think of that greater covenant that Christ has made, that the God of heaven has made with His people. What a covenant it is. And a covenant is simply a promise. It is something that is sealed. The hymn writer said, "My hope is fixed on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And the blood of Christ seals that covenant. The blood of Christ, His finished work, is something that guarantees that covenant. When we think of a covenant or a promise, it is something that has been sealed. Back in Northern Ireland in 1912, some of the history is interesting. There was a thing called the Ulster Covenant. And in the midst of those within what would now be the Irish state, the nation of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, there were those who were pushing home rule. And home rule meant that Ireland would separate from the United Kingdom. It would become its own nation. That did happen. But what we know is Northern Ireland stayed with the United Kingdom. And there's been issues and troubles regarding that over the years. But the Ulster Covenant came about in those days prior to the First World War. There was growing pressure and support for home rule. And those who were Christians, Protestants, loyal to the United Kingdom, they desired to remain part of the United Kingdom. And they drew up a covenant. It was a promise. It was something they signed. They sealed it, as it were. "This is where I stand. This is what I believe. This is what I desire my country to still be." And it was called the Ulster Covenant, a very vital and important part of Northern Ireland, taking place about 9 years before there was the partition of Ireland. A covenant is a promise. It's something that is sealed. And God, through the rainbow, He preaches here the covenantal mercies of God. God has made a covenant with His people. This rainbow is a visible token of a promise that God made. He set His bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant. It's a reminder of God's grace. When God judged the world, did all die? Every creature perish? Did every human perish? No. The judgment came upon the sinful world, but God in mercy directed Noah to build an ark to the saving of his house. God in mercy and God in grace. And the rainbow, it emphasizes something to us as well, that as it is initiated, as it is sustained, as it is guaranteed, we could say, in the sky, we have no input into a rainbow. It is something that has been placed by God. The mercy and grace of God, it is a one-sided thing. It is not because of us. It is not because of something that you and I can do. God made this covenant, but it is something that is one-sided, because we could not guarantee anything because of our sin. And you see, we're reminded here of the great promise of the gospel. We're saved and redeemed not through anything of ourselves. We cannot guarantee our salvation. Tonight you cannot save yourself. Why? Because of your sin and your iniquity. You're relying upon God and mercy and grace. All that church attendance, all those good works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. There is nothing that can redeem. Nothing that you bring to this covenant. We can think of a peace agreement between two nations. Maybe some leeway will be given by one side. Another side may compromise on a few issues. If there was an agreement, a contract, a business deal, there would be something on both sides. The buyer would debate and discuss the sale of another man's business. And the man who is selling will want to get the best price that he can. He may want guarantees for his business. He may want guarantees for his staff. He may want a guaranteed position to continue working for that business. And so there are two sides that are trying to work out an agreement. But God, in mercy and grace, in the covenant of grace, that covenant is all through the mercy and grace of God to us. And God does not forget like we do. And the covenant made here, it points to the great covenant of redemption. It is through the blood of the everlasting covenant that we are redeemed. It is the rainbow that reminds us of the covenantal mercies of God in His salvation. There is an everlasting covenant. There is a covenant that reminds us of what Christ has done for the sinner. There is a covenant between God and those who are His people. And it is all through the mercy and grace of God. God could have judged the world in the day of Noah, and that was the end of the world. But in grace, Noah found grace. Noah built the ark. And God has provided salvation to His covenant people through the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear believer, or dear unsaved tonight, you who are in your sins, what about the mercy of God? What about this great covenant? You can depend upon it. You can rest secure upon it. You know there is a great foundation there. A sure foundation. A secure foundation for salvation. As we close tonight, dear believer, rest in the faithfulness of God. Man may take the symbols that we find in Scripture that remind us of God's judgment and God's warnings and God's mercy and grace. But let us never forget that these things remind us of the faithfulness of God. Let us rest in the faithfulness of God. There is a great reminder here that God never breaks His word. When you are tempted to doubt the promises of God, remind yourself of the rainbow and the promises of God that are sure and steadfast. Rejoice in the mercy of God. Trust God. Stand for His truth in a world of confusion, because that is what Noah did. The world turned from God. They were corrupt. He stood for the truth of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. We're to teach the next generation as well. If you notice what it says in verse 12. For perpetual generations. This is a covenant for perpetual generations. It was an educational symbol for every generation. And when we think of the rainbow is not to be defined by the world, but it is something that can be used to teach the next generation of the justice and grace and promises of God. Do you desire to teach the next generation, to point them to Christ, to point them to the Savior, to glorify the true ark of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ? The rainbow is not, we could say, a cute decoration. It's not a cultural emblem. It is something that God gave as a sign of His covenant mercy. And therefore, let it remind you to draw your heart to Him, to anchor your faith in Him, to be bold and confident in Him, to continually look to Him and rest upon His promises. I set my bow in the cloud. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen. For
our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Among all the saints whose lives are recorded in Holy Writ, David possesses an experience of the most striking, varied, and instructive character. In his history, we meet with trials and temptations not to be discovered as a whole in other saints of ancient times, and hence he is all the more suggestive of a type of our Lord, giving you the trials of all ranks and conditions of men. Kings have their troubles, and David wore a crown. The peasant has his cares, and David handled a shepherd's crook. The wanderer has many hardships, and David abode in the caves of En-Gedi. The captain has his difficulties, and David found the sons of Zeruiah too hard for him. The psalmist was also tried in his friends. His counsellor Ahithophel forsook him. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. His worst foes were they of his own household. His children were his greatest affliction. The temptations of poverty and wealth, of honour and reproach, of health and weakness, all tried their power upon him. He had temptations from without to disturb his peace, and from within to mar his joy. David no sooner escaped from one trial than he fell into another. No sooner emerged from one season of despondency and alarm than he was again brought into the lowest depths, and all God's waves and billows rolled over him. It is probably from this cause that David's Psalms are so universally the delight of experienced Christians. Whatever our frame of mind, whether ecstasy or depression, David has exactly described our emotions. He was an able master of the human heart because he had been tutored in the best of all schools, the school of heartfelt, personal experience. As we are instructed in the same school, as we grow matured in grace and in years, we increasingly appreciate David's Psalms and find them to be green pastures. My soul, let David's experience cheer and counsel thee this day. We come to the end of our program. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.